Penguin Random House Audio presents The Blaze by Chad Dundas. Read for you by Chris Henry Coffey.
Chapter 1. Eastern Baghdad, Iraq. The first thing Matthew Rose remembered was pitching forward in the back of an army Humvee and puking beef stew between his boots. The chalky, dinty moor broth had a chemical tang on the way back up. Chunks of stringy meat mixed with the subtle flavor of plastic bag. It took a couple of good heaves to get it all out. He pressed the top of his helmet against the seat in front of him and dotted tears on the back of his tactical gloves. When he was able, he sat up and found the other three soldiers in the Humvee all staring at him like a puppy who had just shit on the rug. Their faces said it wasn't the first time. He must have been throwing up a lot lately. They were all pocket-eyed and filthy, weighed down by ballistic plates and the ammunition strapped to their chest rigs. It was so hot, so ungodly hot, that it took him a few heartbeats to realize he didn't recognize any of them. Panic gripped him. A rolling wave of pain surged from behind his molars and crashed like a sucker punch on his frontal lobe. A soldier in the front passenger seat hissed his name like it was the worst curse word he could think of. "Rose," he said. "Tell me you didn't just yak all over my new vehicle." Tracks of sweat ran out of the soldier's sideburns. His blunt little mustache looked like it had been grown as a joke. He had staff sergeant stripes on his chest and a name tape that read Potts. Matthew didn't think he'd ever seen the guy before. There was so much about this moment he wouldn't learn until later. That he was 27 years old and moving with the rest of his fire team down a narrow strip of blacktop on the crumbling edge of eastern Baghdad. That he'd just been promoted to sergeant and was supposed to be Potts' second in command. That Potts felt protective of the Humvee because the last one had just blown up in an IED attack. A member of their team killed. That it was July, and their unit had just 1 month left on a 12-month deployment. They were all counting the days until they went home, paranoid and half-crazed from lack of sleep. But Matthew didn't know any of that. Not yet. He tried to say, "Sorry," but the word caught in the burning clot of his throat and came out as a wet cough. The soldier across the back seat from him reached over the deck of gear and clapped him on the shoulder. "Holy shit, dude," he said. "You okay?" The guy's name tape said Rickert. His freckles and cow brown eyes made Matthew think of farmland, of rolling wheat fields and the domes of grain silos. From the casual way he touched him, Matthew guessed they were friends. It made him want to grab Rickert's hand and hold it. He wanted to tell him that he didn't remember who he was or what they were doing. He wanted to yell for help. But as he opened his mouth to try to explain, he registered something else about how they were all looking at him. The other men in the Humvee were just as terrified as he was. Their eyes begged him to shut the fuck up. Whatever was wrong with him, they didn't want to hear about it. Not at that moment. What they wanted to hear was that he had his shit together. He was fine. He had their backs. He covered his mouth with a fist and belched. "I'm good," he said. He was good, he thought. This feeling would pass. He would be fine. Just as he thought this, the Humvee lurched to a stop, sending them all rocking forward in their seats. Through the bulletproof windshield, he saw a slender bridge standing over a sluggish river. Beyond that, dark catacomb buildings rode the low crest of a ridge. At the mouth of the bridge, a dead cow lay rotting in the middle of the road, blocking their way. Its hide was slick brown, almost black, a dark stains spreading out on the pavement beneath it. Fuck, the driver said. He wore mirrored sunglasses, his lip fat with chew. Not again. Rickert leaned into the center console to take a look. The same exact spot? He asked. Do these motherfuckers think we're that stupid? I told you, the driver said. This is how it happens. One guy gets killed and the bad luck spreads like a fucking virus. Both of you shut up, Potts said. Rollo, back it up, now. The Humvee lumbered into reverse, pushing Matthew back. Behind them, he saw another vehicle riding their rear bumper, two more Humvees behind that. Potts spoke into the handset of a dash-mounted radio as the whine of the engine filled the cab. The convoy retreated 300 yards and stopped again. The guy called Rollo, easing the brakes this time. Matthew sat stock still, his thoughts moving as if underwater, every synapse firing a beat too slow. He worried anything he might do would give away how confused and dizzy he felt. Before he could steady himself, the other soldiers in the Humvee cracked their doors and bailed out into the road. A layer of dust coated him as he followed them out. He sucked a breath, taking in the stench of decaying concrete, sweat, and burning oil. As he rounded the back of the vehicle, the world began to reorient itself around him. A few things were obvious. The desert, the war, road signs printed in Arabic, clockwork dials spun in his head, tumblers dropping into place. He knew who he was. Matthew Rose, sergeant insignia patched on his uniform in the same place Potts wore his. What else? He thought. What else? Other soldiers appeared from the rear Humvees and pushed into the open land beyond the road. They had their rifles up, moving with the steady precision of training and muscle memory. He felt a jolt of relief to see Rickert waiting for him, but when the guy's fingers latched around his wrist, they squeezed hard enough to pinch bone. Do you think you can fucking stick with me this time? Rickert asked, pulling him close, shouting over the noise. Matthew nodded, not knowing why. Good, Rickert said. Come on. They followed the others into the sand. Matthew pressed the butt of his rifle to his shoulder and felt strangely comforted at the way it fit. The horizon was empty, besides the jigsaw face of the buildings. Nothing moved in there. They looked abandoned. Rickert dropped to one knee and Matthew copied him. The sun was a red marble in the sky, the air thick and damp. What do we do now? He asked, swallowing down the raw sting lingering at the back of his throat. Rickert's eyes shifted across his rifle sights, making clear this was a stupid question. We wait for EOD to see if there's a bomb stuck up that dead cow's ass, he said. Matthew glanced back at the road, where Rollo and Potts leaned against the hood of the Humvee, Potts scribbling on a metal clipboard. What are they doing? He asked. Now Rickert's whole head turned. They're filling out the fucking UXO, he said. Jesus, Matt, are you sure you're all right? Before he could answer, a crackling sound erupted from inside the buildings, followed by the thunk, thunk, thunk of slugs punching into the Humvees. Rickert's rifle bounded as he returned fire. Matthew's mind snapped into the hyper-awareness of being shot at. His finger closed around the trigger of his own gun, but before he could fire, a strange, high-pitched cry made him turn again. Rollo was down in the dirt, clutching his leg with both hands. Potts squatted beside him, trying to drag the man to cover, his face twisted from the effort. Rickert and Matthew sprinted back to the road and each slipped an arm under Rollo's shoulders. They dragged him behind the front wheel of the Humvee, where he sprawled on the ground, gripping his knee and saying, Fuck, 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 I told you, fuck.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?